Say, Houston Intrepid, I'm going to bring the computer out of PO6 and put it back to bed again.
Stand by.
Okay, Houston, I got another one of those 11:05 alarms, which is up like too fast. I don't know why that happens all the time, but it does. So I'm going to go ahead and put it back to sleep again.
That's fine, Pete.
Okay, it's back at standby.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control at 129 hours, 31 minutes.
I have a consumables update for you if you want it, Pete, and after that I've got some liftoff block data.
Okay, go ahead with the consumables update and then the block data.
All right, RCS Alpha is 80%. Bravo is 7.6. Oxygen is 7.6 and 9.6. Water, 4.7 and 9.9. And your amp hours is 850 and 572. The liftoff block data for Rev 25, which is T13, is 132.1135. Rev 26 T14 is 134.0959. Rev 27 T15 136.0825. Rev 28 T16 is 138.0650. Over.
Roger. You recently copied the consumables updates, and you're at liftoff times 132.1135, 134.0959, 136.0825, 138.0650.
That's affirmative, Al. Hello, Intrepid Houston. I have a couple words on your rendezvous radar self-test and your tape meter, if you're interested in them now.
Go up.
Okay, your rendezvous radar self-test was good. The checklist had the spec values, not the actual values, which is a reason for the difference. They ran through them on the ground and it checked out 4-0. Your tape meter paraloon checks were also good. MPAD ran a solution through on the ground here using the actual CSM state vectors. They had been slightly perturbed, and they came up with the same values off the chart as you did.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Okay, then, you think our tape meter is going to be accurate during the rendezvous, then? We could just use that data.
That's affirmative.
Okay, Houston, how about giving me the word on the geology now?
Yeah, he'll be with you in a minute, Pete.
Okay.
Pete Nail, Houston, we're ready to go with a traverse plan.
Ho, 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 good morning.
Good morning, good morning. We can pick it up on LSE 76G. I think that's the easiest way to follow it on your map.
Have it right in my hand, go.
Okay, first of all, the two prime sites we consider on here are Bench and Sharp Craters. We can pretty much follow the traverse which we discussed before. What I'd like to do is to give you the additional information that you don't have on your sheet, and also perhaps to discuss how we'll fit the LSEP revisit into this. Your first point along the traverse is Head Crater, and which we call out F. What we'd like to do in view of the fact that you're going over towards the LSEP is to move that site over to the northwest rim of Head Crater. And the coordinates there are R0 11.0. And then you would carry out what we already have outlined for Head Crater. That's the two partial pans across Head Crater, and document the slumps and ledges. In addition to that, seeing as we have the PSE so closely located to that, we'd like to see if we can get a known signal for the PSE. So if possible, could you roll a large crater, or a large boulder, the former would have been a little bit harder, roll a large rock into the crater and take a stereo pair of the rock rolling.
Copy, copy.
Take a stereo pair of the rock prior to rolling and a stereo pair of the track made by the rock after rolling. Okay, that's point one. Do you copy?
Yes, sir. We'll rock and roll.
Hey, we've had a lot of training for that sort of thing on those geology trips we've had. We're with Galloway. Let's press on from ahead.
Rod, we've got some happy-looking geologists here. We have Ewell Clanton back here, and he's betting that somewhere along the traverse you'll find some stuff.
I think there's stuff all over the place.
Okay, after this first point, then you can go on out to LSEP. And word on the CCIG is to make sure that it is laying on its back. We first would like you to confirm, however, that you did try to lay it down in the normal mode, and that the only way you really can, you thought you could make it work is having it lay on its back.
Yeah, look, we're going to go the other way around, I think. Let's go to LSAP and then to 1. That's the head crater.
Okay, fine. Either way you want. Yeah, looking
okay,
at the geometry.
Let me tell you one other thing while you're standing there. I want to tell you, I do have Bench Crater in view from the window. Sharp Crater, I do not. So it looks to me like it would be relatively easy to go to LSAP to the coordinates you gave me on Head Crater, and I am looking at it right now, and I see several rocks which might do what you want it to do, which we might be able to roll down the side of that crater, and followed by one astronaut, probably. But anyhow, we'll give that a whirl, And then, is the next point you want it to go sharp? And if so, just let's press.
No, Pete, the next one is Bench Crater, and then we'll be moving on to sharp.
Okay.
What we'd like to do is to move...
I'd like to do it the other way around. That way I'm going around in a circle.
Okay, what we wanted to do was to move your point B on Bench Crater on over to the northwest edge of that, as opposed to on the southwestern edge.
Okay, I'm with you. Give me the coordinates and we'll do it your way.
Okay, coordinates on that would be M0. So you'd be up on the north side of
it. Great minds think alike. That's where I was poised.
Roger. Okay, the three things we'd like you to do there, which are in addition to what we've already discussed on your plan. Take stereo pairs of the features of interest in Bench Crater, especially of the bench. Determine whether the bench is bedrock or breccia near the base of the regolith. And if the bench is bedrock, sample the ejector representative of the bench, or sample the bench itself, if possible. And lastly, look northwest and...
Understand.
Roger, Al. And lastly, in Bench Crater, look northwest and southwest from the rim of Bench Crater to see if Copernican ray material is obviously different from other units.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to Sharp Crater, which is coordinate A. First, we call out for a full trench site sample in the crest of Sharp Crater, and we want to make sure you also add to that the gas analysis sample. That looks as though it'll be pretty much your furthest point out. And we'd like a full pan from the rim of Sharp Crater. That also is because it's your furthest point out. And crew option at this point, extend your traverse west into what appears to be Copernican ray material. And also...
Hold on just a second, Houston.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Houston.
Okay, last point on Sharp Crater is sample and describe differences across the contact of M1, M2, if it's apparent when you reach that region. On your map, that shows up as a dotted line running northwest, southeast.
Yeah, we got it. I can tell you right now, it's going to be pretty darn hard to do that. Looking cross sun, the material looks all the same. Looking down sun, it looks all the same, except for different colors. It's
Roger.
Really weird. I'm sure that you can see the stuff from far out, but down here, it might as well all be the same if you get right up on top of an individual rock.
Roger, understand, probably you might not see any color differences, but if you could keep your eye open for differences in rock types. Moving on to the fourth point, which is Halo Crater, as we have a call out there. At this point, you can try to join the two core tubes together and core through the thin ejecta of Crater 6, or Halo Crater. When you do that, you'll have to pull a pit pin off the one core tube, which you make the bottom tube.
We'd like you to avoid the rockiest parts of the crater. And if the tubes can't be joined, just take one on the rim and then one about 100 feet west of that location. If you could, give us a pan at that location. And there is a comment which is really applicable to all of the traverse. Document pattern ground and fillets on different slopes and blocks, especially any asymmetric fillets you may run into. We would expect, or we find it most interesting to get this type of information on the youngest material, so that's why we call for it here, especially in Halo Crater. The best way to document pattern ground is to photo into the sun near field, and that way the pattern should show up in an optimum way.
Okay.
And our last one is you go on down to Surveyor Crater, and then in there we have a Block Crater. We'd like there to collect the samples of major rock types and a partial pan across the Surveyor Crater. And I think that covers it from our end.
Okay, we may have a little trouble getting the Block Crater. I'm not sure whether it's an optical illusion or what, but that face, that wall that the surveyor's on looks one whale of a lot steeper than 14 degrees. Now, it just may be that we're standing on the other side of the crater ourselves, and it just looks a little funny, and we've been discussing the surveyor a little bit here during the evening. And it does, that crater gets pretty rugged over on that side, especially at the Block area, as I remember it from yesterday. But we'll give her a go. Now, when we get to each one of these points, you can remind us of it again. But I think we have it fairly well in mind what you want.
Okay, we'll be talking to you on the way. And one last note of clarification on that CCIG. If it's sitting up so that it's pointing horizontal to the ground, just leave it alone. If it's flipped over so that it's looking into the ground, then we want you to lay it on its back. And if it's already on its back, that's good enough.
Okay, now the cover should be off, is that right?
That's affirmative.
If it's not off, should we try and take it off for you?
Stand by. Pete, that's negative. If it's on there, leave it as it is.
Understand.
This is Apollo Control at 129 hours, 52 minutes.